My name is Haley Kim, and I'm the creator and host of Iconic Businesses of Dallas. Join me as I interview successful businessmen and women around DFW to hear their stories about how they got to where they are today. Get inspired and leave with great takeaways from their experiences that you can apply to your own daily life.
You really have to have that drive. You really have to do your research and network and make connections and realize that it will happen, especially if it's something in your heart that does not go away. If it's been on your mind and, you know, you wake up thinking about it, you go to bed thinking about it, you know, it's part of your purpose. And so that gives me motivation to keep going.
Akeisha Shipman is an inspirational speaker and educator with a master's in psychology. She loves teaching and inspiring others to believe in themselves and their abilities by speaking on things such as self-love, mental health, empathy, and resilience. She shares her heartbreaking story about how she turned a tragic life event into something positive by starting her nonprofit organization For the Love of Sunshine to help those in need. Hi, Akeisha. Thank you so much for being on my show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So I am Akeisha Shipman, but I go by Akeisha Rion. I am an educator. I love having passion for educating our youth. I'm a psychologist by education. Both of my degrees are in psychology. And I'm an inspirational speaker. I am the owner of Rion Inspires.
So what made you want to focus on the youth?
I knew since I was in high school that I wanted to be an educator, but life took me in different directions. I stumbled into psychology in college, so I wound up getting both of my degrees in psychology. And then I learned about a position at a local high school when I lived in Jacksonville, Florida. So I said, this is my opportunity to mix what I love and what I've always wanted to do together. So I went, I applied for the position, and I became a psychology teacher. And I always knew I wanted to be an educator, but my passion for psychology wanted me to learn more about that as well. So I was blessed with the opportunity to be able to mix the two, to teach our high school students and also college students, because I taught college as well, and I currently do still teach college, about the field of psychology, and it's my passion.
Is that what brought you to Dallas?
No, actually, my husband brought me to Dallas. We've been married for 17 years, but my husband is in the Navy, so we've had to travel a lot. So we, 4 years ago, came from Florida here to Dallas. We've had the opportunity to live in Georgia. That's where I was born and raised. We lived in Florida for about 7 years, moved to Hawaii. Wow. And I know you lived in Hawaii,
yes,
as well. I did my research, so we'll have to chat about that. And I was blessed with that opportunity. And that's how I kind of stumbled into psychology, because I was in college. I'm a lifelong learner. It took me a long time to earn my degree.
I was
doing a program, an education program, that would allow me to get my degree in education. But when I moved to Hawaii, I had to kind of switch schools and switch programs. Mm-hmm. And that's how I wind up getting my degrees in psychology. So yeah, I moved back to Florida after leaving Hawaii and started teaching there. When I was in Hawaii, I was blessed to stay at home with my children for 6 years, which is such a blessing. Wouldn't change that opportunity or that time for anything. And moved here. And honestly, when I moved here, I said, okay, you know, I've taught, but I want to get into something else that has always been placed in my heart. And that's just speaking, having my own business. I've always also had an entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always known that I wanted to do something to work for myself as well. So the goal was not to go back into the public school system. It was to start my own business, but things, they just weren't lining up in my time. And so I had to trust God and decided that I would go back into the public school system. And listen, it took me 10 interviews to land my position.
Wow.
That was a lot of heartache. It took me about 6 months to find a position, 10 interviews, ups and downs, you know, waiting for that email or that phone call. I now know what was happening. God was telling me, this is the school that I want you to be at. This is the place that I want you to be at. Now, let's go back a little bit. I taught high school in Florida, right? Taught psychology, loved it. But I was at a middle school and high school combined, and they needed a U.S. history teacher for eighth graders.
Oh,
I took it. You know, I'm supposed to help and be a team player. And I took it, and that was a very challenging year. I was teaching psychology college and eighth graders. There's a big difference between juniors and seniors and eighth graders. So it was a struggle, and I told myself I would never, ever teach middle school again. But God had something different in store. After 10 interviews, that's where he placed me with sixth graders. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity when I got here to be able to teach middle school, because it showed me a lot. And I truly believe that it's one of the biggest reasons why I have now stepped out to do what I want to do, what I know I need to do with Breon Inspires.
So how did you decide to make the move?
Yeah. So while there, I was there for 3 years, wonderful school, wonderful staff, wonderful kids, but I heard so many stories, saw so many things, went through so many heartaches with them, learned about what they really need during their preteen and early teen years. Now I knew it from education, but now I knew it from firsthand, having seen and walked through life with some of these young people. So I told myself, look, you have to do this. You have to do it. And I've had some other tragedies along the way too that helped me realize that life is short. Like, we all know it, but when you experience heartache and death firsthand, it helps put that little pep in your step.
Yeah.
And kind of wakes you up a little bit more to step out on faith and do what you need to do to fulfill purpose.
So when you started your Breon Inspires, how did you get the word out that that's what you were doing?
Yes. You know what? This is a one woman show right now. I am building a team, but you really have to have that drive. You really have to do your research and network and make connections and realize that it will happen, especially if it's something in your heart that does not go away.
Yeah.
If it's been on your mind and, you know, you wake up thinking about it, you go to bed thinking about it, you know, it's part of your purpose.
Yeah.
And so that gives me motivation to keep going. So, of course, social media has helped a lot. That's how I met you. And just, you know, being my own PR, being my own marketing agent. As of right now, I'm dreaming bigger and better. Yeah. So I just do it.
That's
awesome. Yeah, you just do it. When you want something, you just do it.
Right.
And so I'm an educator and I'm also a learner for life. So I get on the internet and just learn about what I need to do in order to help my business grow.
And so what do you speak about when you do these?
Yes. So psychology, basically, I'm using what I have learned through my studies, through life, to educate, empower, and inspire our youth. And I say youth, but I have held workshops for young adults, for women my age, women older than me. I love speaking about stress and what stress really is, especially here in 2020, because I believe that a lot of us don't really understand what stress is. Yeah. It's not the thing. It's not, you know, having to finish a paper in school or getting to work on time. It's actually our mindset, how we're perceiving what's going on. So when we truly learn the definition and truly equip ourselves with those tools and learn to think about our thinking, we can deal with that stress better. So I have a passion for speaking about stress. Resilience is something that I'm very passionate about because I've had to be resilient a lot in the last year and a half. And we can talk about that in just a moment. I love to teach about self-efficacy, the belief in yourself and your abilities, because somewhere along in life, like we're born thinking that we can do it all, right?
Yes.
And somewhere in those early years, we have experiences. And that experience or those experiences can sometimes decrease our thoughts about ourselves, who we are. So I love to help students really think about their true identity. So I focus on identity and also resilience so they can understand how to get that bounce back and go forward with whatever goals they have and whatever they need to do. So just a variety of topics. Yeah. Right now I'm hosting workshops online because it is 2020 and the pandemic's out there. But the ultimate goal is to get into these middle schools and high schools in the DFW and, you know, hopefully in all of the country so that I can use my knowledge and share my story and use my experiences to develop programs and also just speak and encourage and inspire our youth.
Yeah, I feel like youth, especially like middle school, that's when you go through such big changes with like hormones and friends. And a lot of kids don't get that kind of advice or, you know, knowledge at home. You know, it's only what they see at school.
And that has been my experience. I worked at a Title I school, a lovely school, like I stated. I love the staff, miss them dearly, but I knew I had to transition and step out on faith and do what I needed to do for some personal and professional reasons. But we're there to teach math and science and social studies. And unfortunately, sometimes those life skills that they need is not always there, or they don't have formal courses for them at some schools. Some schools do a great job. Some schools, because of various situations, staffing and budget is just not there. So I have seen what's needed, and that's my goal, to get back into those schools that may not have those programs or may have those programs and partner with those educators and, you know, staff members that are trying to implement so that I can do my part to uplift and inspire.
Yeah, I would love to see that in the schools because, like you said, you know, there's maybe it's budget or I think schools, especially public schools, focus on trying to get kids to pass those tests. And that's all that matters because that's how you get funding, right? So who cares about life skills? You just need to know long division. And I think that's so ridiculous because how many times do you and I use long, you know, whatever, college algebra?
Exactly.
You know, I'd rather have some life skills and know how to, like, be confident in myself.
Exactly, yes. It all depends on what you do or going to do as far as your career in life as to how much of your education you will use. Yeah. But you're definitely right. Like, all of it is needed. Those soft skills, every employer wants. Like, they want us to be able to communicate effectively, verbally, just regulate our emotions, right? On the job, develop empathy, have empathy towards coworkers, towards others. All of those character traits, all of those skills are so very important in every aspect of our lives. So I am on a mission to make sure. And I believe part of that too stems from me not having it.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a lack of something, it also develops passion. You want to help others receive what you didn't receive.
Yeah. I believe in that. Like, I feel like you either go one way or the other. It's like you went through horrible stuff, so you feel like that's your path and there's nothing you can do to change it. Or there's people like you and I that are like, hey, we've been through hell and back, but I'm going to use that experience to be positive and change and try to help others.
Yes. I'm on a mission to break the chains.
That's awesome.
To, you know, break up all of these generational curses within my family. I have two young boys. Well, I say young, but I have one in high school, one in elementary school. So fairly young and a little bit older. But, you know, I lead by example, and I want them to, you know, have that confidence. And we're not going to always have it. Like, let's be real. Yeah. I'm hitting on 40. And sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, like today, I'm not feeling it, right? Yeah. We go through moods, all of the emotions that we experience, totally natural. We should be angry, happy, sad, and mad. But the key is to have the tools, to have the knowledge about what to do so that you can get through, so that you can persevere. And so that's my goal. Like, not to make anybody happy all the time.
Yeah.
I want to equip so that you can pull those tools out of your toolbox and say, okay, this is my thinking right now. This is how I'm feeling. What do I need to do? What can I do? What do I enjoy so that I can get to the place where I need to be?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think a lot of people struggle with that, like, anger, especially kids these days. I think we're so technology focused and, like, always on our phones, always texting. I mean, even friends I have in their early 20s or whatnot that are dating, quote unquote dating, it's like they don't talk on the phone. It's all text. I'm like, how do you experience what that person's emotions are when everything is in text, you know? And
exactly.
I feel like today's youth is like they're losing that. ability.
And they are. So it's our job to help them have those skills, help them remember, help them manage their time and understand that technology is great. It can be used for some great things, but we also have to be, well, diverse in different areas and know how to communicate face-to-face and not just behind a screen.
Yeah.
So you are definitely right.
I think that's where a lot of our problems come from, the communication and how to, you know, you don't know how to deal with all these emotions because you're always hiding behind a screen. So
exactly. And trust me, I'm a mom of two boys, like I just told you, and it's a challenge for me too.
Yeah.
Like, but they, I always tell them, you have a mom that's an educator and a psychologist. Yeah. We're going to get this right. You know, I give them their grace. They have their time on technology, but I also teach them how to communicate how they're feeling effectively, even with me, even with my husband, with their peers. Like, it's always that side note that I'm giving. And I'm so thankful that I have that. And just trying to find a balance in this, you know, 21st century with technology is a challenge for a lot of adults.
Yeah.
You know, with kids and educators as well, especially now being that most of our all virtual, even when you are face to face in the classroom, it's still on a computer all day, you know, because of the pandemic. So helping them remember that there's other means and ways of communicating is very important.
Yeah, I have an almost five-year-old who's like always wants to be on her iPad. But I mean, there's good things. There's like educational things on there too. But then I'm like, hey, we need to actually read a real book or, you know, get your eyes off the screen for a little bit.
Oh my gosh, I love a good paperback book, okay? Yeah. I don't even want the hardcover. Give me a paperback so I can flip the pages and write in it. Yeah, yeah, it's very important.
Yeah. Well, so tell me a little bit about your nonprofit and how that got started.
Yes. So my nonprofit is a result of two things. My sons and I want to say it was back in 2016, we were watching Nickelodeon and we saw a young lady, I want to say elementary school. So a young girl, she had a nonprofit and her mission was to donate mattresses to little boys and girls who did not have a bed to sleep in because she did not realize that some kids don't have their own room and don't have their own bed to sleep in. Yeah. So I remember talking to my sons. I said, we're going to do that one day. I said, you guys are blessed to have, you know, at that time they were sharing rooms, but you both have your own bed. You know, we've been truly blessed. We're going to give back just like that one day. Fast forward 3 years later, in April of 2019, I was woken up in the middle of the night to a phone call, actually some Facebook text and some cell phone text and phone calls from my cousin that I had missed. And when I woke up and realized that she had called me numerous times, I called her back to find out that my father had been shot. My father was shot by a young man and was driven to the hospital by EMS, went through surgery, and died a few hours later. My father and I, we had a relationship. It wasn't as strong as I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And I always had hope. I always had hope that it would get better. It would get better. It would get better for me and my boys. I'm originally from Georgia. Every time I went home, I made sure I saw my father. We would communicate. But it still wasn't that father-daughter relationship that I dreamt of. And when he was shot, I remember thinking, hope is gone. I felt all the emotions that day, felt all the emotions, you know, for a while. Mm. But I remember the next day, God told me, hope is not gone. Your father may not be here on earth. You had so many dreams and aspirations, and you really wanted to make or have a stronger connection with him. But hope is not gone because you can still give hope to so many others in memory of your father and in ways that reflected your father's life. So that summer, I went ahead and did the paperwork to get everything registered with the state to turn my organization into a 501c3. And here it is. So I've actually had the business and the nonprofit for the last year and a half. But 2020 has really allowed me, like so many others, to just go strong with it because we've had more time on our hands, right? Yeah. So we have three initiatives for the Love of Sunshine. Let's start with the name.
Yeah.
When we were at my father's wake, in the African-American community, in a lot of communities, we have what we call a wake, where it's a service before the funeral where you mourn and you fellowship with others. At that time, my cousin told me, she said, you know what? We started calling your father Sunshine. Because he would walk around sometimes a little grumpy, you know, he just had this strong personality. And we started calling him Sunshine. So every time I would see him, I would say, hey, Sunshine. And I never knew that. And just her telling me that, like, he had so many nicknames, but not Sunshine, you know. And so her telling me that just lifted my spirits. And instantly, For the Love of Sunshine popped into my head. So I'm doing this for the love that I have for him, but also to bring sunshine into other people's lives. So we have three different initiatives. The first is Beds, which goes back to the story I told you about me and my sons 4 years ago, seeing this little girl on Nickelodeon giving away mattresses to people. So we will decorate the homes, the bedrooms of little boys and girls who are from single parent homes that may be moving from homeless shelters or maybe, a shelter catered to women and children because of domestic violence issues, whatever the need is. We want to be able to go in and have them walk in their room and say, hey, I have a bed to sleep in. I have a home to sleep in. Now, that's also twofold because my father, I never thought about him as being homeless, but it hit me when I went to court. Of course, I've had to go to court for various things. When I went to court and the judge said, so he was homeless. And in my heart and mind, I was like, no, he wasn't. He has a loving family. He, you know, my grandmother, my aunts, my uncles, he had so many places to stay. But technically, he didn't have a lease or a mortgage with his name on it. So in that aspect, he was homeless in a way, right? And so the bed is also a tribute to him because he was working on getting his own apartment. Actually, the day he died, that morning, they called him and said his place was ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the night he got killed, he was out in the town and he got killed on the streets. So the bed part is, all of it is near and dear to my heart, but that is especially near and dear. Keeping a promise that I told my kids that we were going to do to bless others and also something that represented my father's life. The bikes part is because of that too. He was actually robbed over a bike.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
So I had a young man that I worked with at one of the schools that I worked at, and he would ride his bike. He would ride his bike. Actually, it was here in North Texas. He would ride his bike from Richardson all the way to the school district that I worked in to get to work every day.
Wow.
And so we had kind of a connection, and that just touched my heart. Yeah. Like, that's determination. Yeah. That is, I'm going to do what I have to do to get to where I want to be, to take care of my family, take care of myself. If it was raining, he would ride his bike.
Wow.
If it, you know, was cold outside, that was his transportation. And that was my father's transportation as well. And ultimately, and unfortunately, the young man that shot my father did so over a bike. And honestly, I believe it was more of a lack of identity in this young man, trying to fit in with the crowd. I don't want to go too much into the story because I'm still going through some legal things eventually. But I truly do believe if this young man had that inspiration, had that guidance in his life to understand who he truly is and had that kindness in his heart to know that we don't do that to other people.
Absolutely.
Then my father would still be here.
Yes.
But I also know everything happens for a reason. So I know that this is part of God's plan to help me keep that hope and also help others continue to have hope.
Yeah. Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah,
I can't even
welcome.
Imagine what you've gone through for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And honestly, I have my moments still, and I know anybody that has been through the loss of any loved one, whether or not it was a parent or a cousin, it's tough. Especially here in 2020, it is very difficult. And I know for sure that my faith, but also my knowledge in the field of psychology has gotten me through just having those tools.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to still be able to rejoice in hard times because they are equipped with the tools they need to help them with their mental state. I am, you know, I'm going to be a mental health advocate from now until forever because I know the importance of having good health, or I call it mental wealth and physical wealth. It's, when we think about being healthy, we often think about the physical side, but we have to get our minds right.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. And I mean, even for us with the right tools, it's still difficult, this kind of stuff. So imagine going through that without any of those tools. I mean, I just...
And imagine our youth. And that's why our youth, like, it is totally normal for them to be going through identity crisis and, you know, just trying to figure out who they are in this thing called life. Yeah. But we want to make it, we want them to have challenges, but we also don't want it to get to the point to where they are feeling lost, right? So we want them to have the experiences and go through it, but go through it with that help, that encouragement, and also some tools in their own personal toolbox when no one else is around to get them through.
So if somebody listening wants to help you or donate to your cause to help these youth, how can they find out more information about that?
Definitely. So right now with Rhianna Inspires, I am doing virtual workshops. I do plan to have a spring break camp, some summer camps to talk about identity, self-efficacy, stress, resilience. So you can sponsor a student. You can definitely sponsor a student. All of that information is on my website, rhiannainspires.com. Now let's talk about the name of my business, Rhianna Inspires. Of course, Inspires is to inspire individuals to be their best self. But Rhianna is my middle name.
And it was given
to me. Yes, right. It was given to me by my parents, my father. My father's name was Roy. My mom wanted something to start with an R. I don't know where they heard the name from, but that's my middle name. And honestly, I used to be embarrassed. I'm just going to be real. I used to be, because nobody could pronounce it. They would call me Raiwan. They would call me so many different things. And that's what happens when you are going through your teenage years, your early adult years, right? You're still trying to gain that confidence. I didn't always have it. And sometimes I have to boost myself up too. And so I just decided to embrace it. It's unique. Nobody else has it. When I Googled it, it's a city, I think, in Italy and a pizza shop in Italy.
Oh,
and that's it. Like, nothing else had that name. So I said, this is it. I am going to honor my mother and father by using my name that I was given and, of course, inspire others. So it's spelled RhiannaInspires, rhiannainspires.com. There's opportunities, of course, to donate and be a blessing to our youth via workshops as well. And For the Love of Sunshine, I have a website. It is fortheloveofsunshine.org. And there's, of course, an opportunity to donate. We are planning to do some giveaways at the beginning of the year. Actually, that is going on right now. I love to share my story, and I love to hear the stories of others, because I believe that when we share, it helps us become more real, right? It gets down to the bottom of the iceberg, and we are able to not just see what's on the surface, but really truly develop empathy for others and understand life and what other people go through. So I want to hear stories. I want to hear how love has continued to shine in your life throughout 2020. Throughout all the difficulties that we've been through, how has others been kind to you? How have you been kind to yourself to get you through this season? So that information is there. And we're planning to do some giveaways in February after the committee goes through all of the stories so that we can just bless others. And there's not one particular giveaway. I really want the giveaways to be catered to the individual's needs, right?
Oh, cool.
So that's going to happen in February. That's going to be our first event of the year. There's an opportunity to upload videos, or you can simply answer the questions on the website to share your story. So that's the first thing we're going to do in 2021 to bless others. I am also planning to start the bed and bike part of the initiative to bless individuals in need in that area. So after this first giveaway, that's when information will go up about how to submit your stories for that as well. And I want to partner with other nonprofits. Like, I'm sure, know stories as well. So that's the goal too. You don't want to reinvent the wheel all the time, right? But I really do believe that I do need to, and I'm going to push forth this vision and this nonprofit because it's very unique and near and dear to me, the things that we're focusing on because of my story. So I do want to partner because I know that there's other organizations out there that may have resources but may not be doing the exact same thing I'm doing or have the same resources I have so that we can bless others as well.
I have a couple of suggestions for you. They actually were on my podcast too. There's a couple I'll tell you after we get off. There's the Blessing Project and Tomorrow's Achievers are both kind of similar to what you're doing and trying to help encourage others. And
yes, definitely. I would love to connect. And on the website, there is an opportunity to connect as well. So I have an opportunity to volunteer when the time comes, donate. And then there's a section about connecting with others, in need. So
I just love that you're starting that project with everyone sharing a story, because I know you said but then also I think with sharing, you give people inspiration. Because think about it, if I see you, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so successful, beautiful, she's got it together. Nobody's going to be like, oh, she had something horrible happen to her or had to struggle in life or anything like that, right? So to other people that are looking from far away, I feel like all they see is this like perfect person, and they don't see all the struggles or hardships that we've gone through to get there, you know? And so I love sharing a story like that because it just gives them hope and, like I said, inspiration to work hard and get to where they can. Like, it's possible.
Exactly. Because people can tell you to do it. Like, you can do it, go for it, get to where you want to be. But when they hear and see people that have been through hell and back, and they are still striving and they're still, you know, doing what they need to do, that is the best encouragement, right? So I don't mind sharing my story. I'm a speaker because I love to talk, right? And I just believe it truly helps. Once again, we are behind the screen, as we talked about earlier, and we are on Instagram and Facebook with these beautiful photos, right? Because we only want the beautiful ones on there. Every once in a while, I post one without makeup. But, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we are being real. Being real and being truthful. And like you said, it encourages others, but it also helps others develop empathy. Like, empathy is something that is learned. Some people can't relate because they have not been through. But when they hear your story and see you and hear your emotions and, you know, go through it with you, it helps them understand more. And I truly believe with everything that's going on or have went on in 2020 and far before now, that's what the world needs. Like, we need that kindness, but we need people to have empathy, to truly feel and understand and know the life of others.
Absolutely. That's why I started this podcast. I wanted people to come on and share their story and inspire everyone else.
Well, I thank you so much. It is so awesome to have others that are trying to help small business owners and entrepreneurs, especially those that are just getting started, to get the word out. So I am truly grateful for being here and sharing my story and my business and nonprofit with
I'm grateful that you came and shared with me. I love listening to success stories, you know.
Thank you. I truly believe, like I say all the time, let your smile be your biggest accessory, but that is not to hide anything that you've been through. Like, there's a time and place for everything, right? And my platform is my time to share my story, but in the office is not my time, right? So I'm wearing my smile. So I believe that you have to understand when and how to do what. You must feel the feelings. You must seek that help to deal with those emotions. I'm a true advocate for therapy. I've been there myself. I experienced anxiety and panic attacks as a psychologist, right? Having the information I needed, but not really even realizing it until I stopped to slow down and think about my thinking. So, like, no one's perfect. Right? But we have to feel the feelings, pull out the tools, and persevere.
I agree. And then one last thing I love to ask my guests is, what do you think is the most iconic business in Dallas?
Yeah. Yes. So I actually have two, if you don't mind. One is a nonprofit and one is a business. The business is called Excellence Rising. It's by a fellow educator. She is an English teacher, middle school teacher currently, a high school teacher currently, I'm sorry, was a middle school teacher. And she is passionate about education, literacy, and she's also a coach. So what she does is combine her passion for education by offering tutoring to those that are in need, and also, I guess, skills training for those that are athletes, especially in the area of basketball. So I think her business is wonderful because of her mission and what she's doing to help our young people. Once again, that's Excellence Rising. And then there's a nonprofit called We Teach Joy, which I am a member of. I went to my first conference 2 years ago, and I just loved what she was doing to uplift educators. And so she hosts conferences and workshops over the whole state of Texas. She started here in DFW, but really her workshops have been in Houston, and I think it's called Stevensville, here in Dallas. And now she's currently having monthly meetings online just to strengthen the hearts and the minds of the educators. So that's We Teach Joy, and both of them, of course, are on Instagram. They're fairly new business owners, entrepreneurs. So I am so blessed to be a part of what they're doing and thankful to just shout them out as well, because I think they're doing great things.
Well, it was such an honor to meet you and talk to you and hear your story today. I'm going to make sure to link all of your information and all of those, your iconic businesses on my feed as well.
Yes, so. Thank you so much. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
To learn more, volunteer, or donate, please visit fortheloveofsunshine.org and rioneinspires.com. That's R-I-O-N-E inspires.com. If you liked today's episode, follow me on Instagram at Iconic Business Podcast and visit www.iconicres.com/podcast to listen to previous episodes. Comment, like, and share so I know you're listening out there. Your support means so much to me. Know someone who would make a great guest on my show? DM me or email me at podcast@iconicres.com. This episode was recorded in Dallas, Texas at Iconic Real Estate and edited by Sean Chapman.